Good morning. As I was trying to prepare for this meeting and keeping with the theme, I had brought several different things and had a hard time choosing which one I wanted to talk about. But you all helped me out. As one after the other, ideas that I had brought have been addressed, and I'm down to my last one. So thank you for getting me on this morning. I want to talk to you about the role of teachers in this process of bringing people from sheep to shepherds. A congregation cannot function, a congregation cannot worship without at least one faithful teacher being present. We would hope that that teacher is a member of that congregation, but you and I know that there are situations where congregations do not have at least one faithful brother who can teach the congregation. And that's unfortunate because I believe a teacher's work goes beyond what he does in the pulpit. The Bible teaches us that teachers were set in the church by the Lord. He gave teachers, among other works of service, to the church. And I wonder sometimes if we do not overlook the importance of the teacher. Now, I'm not talking about everyone who teaches, because everyone who teaches is not a teacher in the sense that I'm talking about today. One day, hopefully, they will be. But there are some who teach and do a very good job who do not meet the criteria I believe the Bible sets forth for a teacher. The Bible tells us that a teacher's work requires both public and private teaching along with spiritual guidance. It's more than just getting in the pulpit and delivering a lesson. In Hebrews 13 and 17, the Bible says, "Obey those who rule over you." I did a little looking into this statement, and I found that this could include elders, evangelists, or teachers. If you've not learned that, maybe a little research is it would be good for you. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. All my life I've thought this referred to the work of an elder, but I found that the work of a teacher also falls into that category. I wonder how a man can watch out for the souls of the members of a congregation if he doesn't have a relationship with the congregation that extends further than the pulpit. We must have relationships with those that we teach so we can determine what needs to be taught. I think that's an important point. When you prepare to present a lesson in your congregations, have you observed the congregation? In other words, if the congregation is mourning, for instance, because someone important to that congregation has passed, wouldn't it be appropriate for the teacher to address that situation? If the congregation is, or members of the congregation are obviously disobedient in one way or another to the will of the Lord, isn't it appropriate to teach concerning the issues that are being ignored or the laws, the commandments that are being broken? I've found it sometimes to be the fact that we actually avoid dealing with the problems and the issues that our congregations face. We do that because we don't want to stir things up. We do that because we don't want trouble. And so we allow disobedience and that sort of thing to just continue without it being addressed. You know, the apostles and the writers of the New Testament scriptures were quick to address the issues and the problems of a congregation. Jude, for instance, was writing concerning, or intended to write concerning, the common salvation, but he changed his message because there were men who had crept in among them that were teaching that lasciviousness or lewdness they were teaching false doctrine and leading the congregation into sinful behavior. So we need to address the problems of our congregation and the needs of our congregation as teachers. And that requires a relationship with the members of the congregation. Before a man can serve as a preacher, an evangelist, or an elder, he must first be an effective, and I say qualified, teacher. I believe there are qualifications given in the scriptures that teachers who fill this role ought to meet. They need to meet. The first that I'll mention is the teacher must be faithful. You remember Paul instructed Timothy that he was to teach faithful men who would be able to teach others also. The word faithful there means trustworthy, reliable, and dependable. These are the kind of men that we desire to have in our pulpits as our teachers. But then a teacher also must be able to teach others. In the same passage, the idea of continuing this process of teaching faithful men, he says, who will be able to teach others also. Not everybody can communicate publicly. Not everyone has whatever it takes to stand before a group of people and teach. That's not a problem, because there are those who are able, and they ought to fulfill the responsibilities of teaching publicly. And those who are not able should not be made to feel as though they were less important or that they have a lesser work to do. I've known men who could not speak from a pulpit, but they were the best among the congregation at speaking to the lost and winning souls and teaching across a fence or across a table with a cup of coffee. A teacher must be spiritually mature. Hebrews 5 verses 12 through 14. A teacher also, according to that same passage, must be able to distinguish between good and evil. Our teachers ought to be skilled in the word of righteousness, and they ought to be able to digest solid food, which belongs to those who are of full age, spiritually mature, who have, by reason of use, exercised their senses to discern both good and evil. A teacher then is mature and skilled in the word of righteousness. I believe the Bible teaches that a teacher should practice, or must practice, what he teaches. It's not always an easy thing to be the perfect example of everything that needs to be taught from the Word of God. If I eliminated those topics of which maybe I have not been a good example in the past, or maybe presently could use some attention in disciplining myself to be a better example. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about men who enter the pulpit and teach, but they are not examples of the doctrine that they teach. In Romans 2, verses 21 through 24, You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Of course, he was writing to a Jewish audience, and his point was to teachers who had previously followed the law of Moses. But the principle is the same for you and I today. We ought to practice what we teach. And the name of the Lord is often blasphemed in our communities because we profess one thing on the Lord's Day and we live by another rule the rest of the week. A teacher is not to be arrogant or high-minded, Romans 12, verses 3 through 8. For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And then in verse 6, he begins to address gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. And he says of the teacher, he who teaches in teaching. Teachers ought not to be arrogant or high-minded. A teacher is able to promote growth in the body of Christ, Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. A teacher demonstrates by his life that he possesses the wisdom that is from above, James chapter 3. It begins, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive stricter judgment. I believe this entire chapter is directed at those who would be teachers of God's people. The abuses of the tongue have to do with saying things that are inappropriate or that are contradictory to the will of God. Our tongues must be controlled. And then he speaks of the wisdom that is both earthly and from the earth, and that wisdom which is from above. And so we ought to manifest the characteristics of that wisdom that is from above. First, it is pure, not contaminated with evil, pure motives, pure heart, a pure life. It's peaceable, a peaceable character, which has a peaceable influence in the lives of others. It is gentle, meaning fair, mild, considerate, courteous, willing to suffer wrongfully in the cause of what is right, if that's necessary. It's willing to yield. It means willing to listen to others, willing to consider another's point of view. Approachable, I think, is the best idea in respect to this word. Not arrogant or closed-minded. It is full of mercy, which is compassion in action. It is full of good fruits, good deeds, good works. The fruit of the Spirit is evident in their lives, Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But finally, a teacher must speak the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. The work of a teacher in a local congregation is vitally important. Some teachers will become preachers. Others will become evangelists, and still others will become elders. We must speak the oracles of God. That means that I, with the words that I say, the statements that come out of my mouth are to be the statements, the commands, the ordinances of God. Each congregation will look to its teachers for guidance and instruction when there are no evangelists or elders in the congregation. I believe the three work together in accomplishing the work that must be done in our congregations. Those who teach have the responsibility of developing their talent. This takes time and effort. It takes hours of study and preparation. And if someone wants to be in the pulpit teaching God's people, he ought to be willing to put forth the time that it takes to deliver a message based upon the Word of God. Amen. So teachers have the responsibility of developing their character as well, to include the qualities listed above. And so in the process of being a sheep and being molded and developed to the point that you become a shepherd of the sheep, don't overlook the great work that is done by the teacher.